Well, fulfill all righteousness, part three. I've been praying and asking God what should I do, and went back to my notes again, and I guess we can do part three and part four and part five. I told you last time when I came over here, you know, said, I'll see you next year, remember? Never said ever, never say never. I don't know, I should learn by now, right? But I don't, you know? So here we are. So we're going to do part four, and I think this is very important, part three today and four tonight. I think it's very important because you are the righteousness of God. Whatever is good, whatever is acceptable, whatever is perfect, you are it. So this morning is important. You understand that if we got one God, one spirit, one mind, and we have one Bible, then we all should be saying the same thing and doing the same thing, right? As a body. Individually, you know, God deal with us individually, but when we come together as a body, we should have the same thought. We should be in one accord. And we are not, then I don't know what the problem is, because we got one God. And we got one thought, and that's His thoughts. And that's what we speak. So if there's something that is not so, that is not God. It has to be me. See, that I'm not thinking what He's thinking. See, we should think what He thinks. And we should then voice, give a voice to His word. Let His will in heaven be done where let's voice His will, that is His word, in here. And let Him bring that to pass. If you do that, it will happen. Because that's what Brother Brown says. He says, if you think right and you do right, things will come out right. There's no way it can go any other way but the right way. Because God will always watch over His word. See? And He will make sure that His word will come back, not void. So if He speaks to you and it's His thought and you voice it and you put legs to it, we have to do something. We cannot just sit and wait. We have to put some leg to our faith. Faith without action is what? Dead. And faith is, like I said this morning, is the, like, that the Bible describes it in Hebrew 11, is the thing that, yeah, that we're not seeing, the unseen. We are reaching to what the world cannot see. It's the hope of those things that are, you know, we are praying for. And they're not seen. So, but you can see them. By faith, you know that God gave you a promise. Maybe nobody think that you're going crazy, you know, but you look bad. I said, well, yeah, but I don't feel bad. But you look sick, but I'm not sick. Why? Because I'm not looking at this. I'm not looking at the seen world. I'm looking at the promise. I'm looking at the unseen. I'm trying to reach, you know, because that is what faith is, to reach out there. One time I worked in the tabernacle there, in Brother Green Tabernacle. That was his tabernacle anyway, but that's what we call it, right? And I walked through the back door, we park in the back and come to the kitchen, fellowship hall. And Brother Gary was standing there, and I seen him and said, and I greeted him, I said, good morning. And I said, you look good. And he looked at me like, you know, I don't feel good. And everyone that saw me this morning, they tell me how bad I look. But I appreciate that you know, you just spoke it. You said, I feel good. And then you know what? I feel good. And that is the way we walk. It is not what I think. It is not what I feel. It is what He said. See? Of course, you know, I've been under the weather too. I've been having trouble sleeping because I had the same situation, you know, Sister Joy Noyce. You know, we had this upper respiratory problem. So, I mean, you know, at night when I rest and my body's resting, it gets full of fluid. So I have to get up every 2 hours. You know, it wakes me up. My cough wakes me up because I got to clean my lungs. Once I clean my lungs, then I go back to bed and I get another couple of hours. And then, and I've been like that for a month now. So, but you know, I'm claiming my healing. Amen. See? Now, as long as I'm standing and working and moving, you know, it is fine, you know, the body and the blood is moving and things. But as soon as I relax, that's when things build up. And I understand why my brother is going on this morning. It is hard. It is hard when you have to gasp for air. You know, your lungs are clogged and you can breathe. Anyway, I don't care. you know. I get up in the morning and I start doing my work and I start studying and I forget about it. And I forget so much about it that it goes away and then I go, oh, wow, I can breathe. So, you know, if you forget about it and just remember him, what happens is we concentrate so much in this body. I got pain. I know you got pain. I'm sick. I know you're sick. But what about try to think about him and the promise? I also have some phobias. We all got things. We all got phobia. I got phobia when going into elevator. I got phobias to go in an airplane. And I, you know, and I say them because the phobias don't control me. I know they're there, but they don't control me. Hey, I had to go through my first, second, and third pool, but I get in the airplane. And I get in the elevator because they are not going to tell me what to do. Because I got a word from God. So I get in the airplanes. Finally, when I deal with all my anxieties and all whatever it is, then I sit back and I relax and I enjoy my trip. See? And people look at me and they don't look like I'm going through all that. Yes, I had to fight. Listen, Satan knows you. 6,000 years to study the human being, right? So he knows what you go through. He's been watching you for years. And he knows what button to press. You know, and we are all different. We have different buttons, but he knows which one. And Brother Brown said that you have a punch coming, a big one. And I don't know which one it is, but let him punch whatever he wants to. I'm not worried about the big punch. I'm worried about God's big punch. Because he is my provider. He is the one that my healer. And if God cannot bring that to pass, then I'm lost. Who can I go? But I rest in the promises of God. And since the Bible said that I am God's righteousness, everything that is good and perfect is what I am. What God is, I am in this earth. That's what the Bible said in John's. You know, he says that who he is out there, you are right here. See? Because when Satan comes as a flood, you are the standard. See, you need to tell Satan what he needs to do. When he come and tell you what you need to do, you tell him, I am the standard. Why? Because I am standing on the promises of God. And I'm going to tell him, this is your end. This is your destiny. And this is mine. See? Amen. So, we started Matthew 3:15. We start up about Jesus starting his messianic ministry. Starting his ministry. And the first thing, it was done. Yeah, I'm on my notes now. The first thing it was done, it says the Bible in Matthew 3:15, it says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now. This is what it should be done. Forget about what you think. Because he said, I'm not worthy. He said, forget about what you think. I don't care what you think. This is what it should be done. Okay? So, it doesn't matter. You don't feel good in the morning. You don't want to come to church or whatever. You're sick. I understand things. But this is what it should be done. Regardless how you feel, regardless how you think, this is what it should be. And you know that. And he says, suffer it to be so, says, For thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. See, we must carry out all what God requires. See, that is what to be righteous, to do what's right. Regardless of what, you know, John thought about it. Yeah, I know we're not worthy. I know that. But he makes me worthy. So that's what I need to think about it. See, not about my own worthiness. I know that. I know in the troubles that I got into. But that had nothing to do with anything. Because I want to say what he says, that what I think I need to say. See? And John says, well, you know, hey, say, forget about it. Forget about that. This is what we should do. And as long as you should do that, you're righteous. Now you think about that because as long as you're walking, talking, and doing what God requires you to do, see, you are it. You are the way you ought to be. That's how you are. Mary. Excuse me. Mary, after a few, 2-3 days after they left the temple, after that ceremony that they had, they found out that Jesus was not, they missed Jesus, you know, and they looking around, and look, Joseph, no, have you seen, no, went to the uncles and aunties and nanas, and hey, what is, we have not seen him a couple of days, what? So they ran back, and they found him. And Mary says, your father and I. And what the word says, that's not what the word says. But the man said, the word we correct, you know. That was her thought, and that was a fine thought, because yes, after 2 years more, he was 12 years old, they've been taking care of him. It was mom and dad providing for him. And suddenly, the word says, that's not the right thought. It is nice, but it's not it. It says, I am on my father's business, and Joseph is not my father. Now, he didn't get nasty about it, and we should not even, but that's what the word said, and the word always correct the wrong thoughts, even though it sounds good. Sometimes you think you're doing the right thing, you know, but it don't end right. We need to go back and find out what went wrong, and most of the time, I'll tell you what went wrong. You got the wrong thought. You started with the wrong thought, even though it looks nice, and you were sincerely, but you were sincerely wrong. Because if you start with the right thought, that is God's word, there's no way. There's no way you can fail. You know why? Because God cannot fail. See, you speak the word of God. God is responsible for the His own word, not yours. If you speak yours, God can do nothing with that one. He don't need to vindicate your word. But he is responsible for his own words. So in another occasion, you know, the disciple says, hey, Jesus, he comes, your brother and your sister and your mother, you know, he comes your family. And he said, who is my family? Right away. The word always correct. You need to think about this, because every time you think about something, if you cannot bring it to the filter of the word, you know, you don't know if that thought is correct, if it's yours or it's his. That's what I get in trouble sometimes. Because sometimes it looks good. Sometimes we want to do something. We have a project or we're going to do whatever. And then we pray about it. Okay? Because we should pray about it and find out what God wants us to do. Make sure that is his will. But we pray about it. But we already, you know, have plans. This is what I like to do. This is what I want to do. God, what do you think about it? Well, you started the wrong way. Because that is your thought. It is a good thought to plan. It is a good thought, you know, to go to him and ask him. But then we said, well, I'm going to put my fleece out. You know, I'm going to want to see if this is really a good thought or a bad thought. And if he don't answer me or if he answer me, then I know. Well, you're going a long way to resolve a problem. Why don't you tell God what you need? And let him tell you what to do. But we have to plan. I know we have to plan. But let us be, like I said, open with God. Don't tell God what to do. But ask him, Lord, this is my situation. This is what is in my heart. What should I do? And then, see, that's how my life has been, you know, lately. Yes, I had needs. But I don't know what to do with them. If I can resolve my needs, I don't need God. I don't need anybody. I don't need your prayers. But most of the time, I don't know what to do. I get sick, and it gets worse, and I do, and I try, and then alternative ways of medicine. They go to the doctor. I've been in the doctor already twice this year for the same thing. Every time the weather changes in summer, I start all over again, you know, and every time the weather changed to start all over again. I don't know what it is. So I do the best I can. Mechanically, I go to the doctor. Mechanically, I take things. But I come to a point that, Brother Augustine, I don't know what to do. Sure. I have done everything that I mechanically, I have prayed. I have asked for prayer. I have go to doctors. I have taken. And I'm still, and I say, what to do? Well, I'm waiting on God. In the meantime, I am waiting on God. I'm not going to sit there and wonder See, that's the devil. He wants to put down. See, when God gets ready, he will. If you believe God, and you are prayerful, and you believe that he healed you, then you will not look no longer at that. Because that was the right word. I mean, if you believe in the servant of God that we pray for you, and he gave you a word, and you, and that were anchored in your heart, then that settles it. The blind man went a whole week. I can see. No, he couldn't if you look at him physically. But he said, I do. Why? Because he gave me a promise. He healed me. And he kept walking and people kept mocking and making fun out of him and making all kind of things and criticizing him. But he said, I can see. I don't care what no one says. I don't care what this body says. I know one thing. He said, I can see. And that falls in God. So you settle back and you wait. Let it, because see, God has to test you. Wants to know if you really, really, really. So the barber guy says, hey, I heard that you went to this meeting. Yeah. And I heard you got healed. Yeah. And then when they were ready to start, you know, on him about it, his eyes came open. Now, he didn't know when those eyes were going to come open. And when you pray, you don't know when you go. You know, a healing is not a miracle. A miracle, we like miracles. Because we like them, you know. We're living in an age of a microwave. We want things. Yesterday, we want them. See, we're impatient. We cannot wait. I need it when? Yesterday. But you know, God is doing a work on you and work on me. And God's work is different than the word that you like to have. So, you need to settle your heart. If you have a word from God, now you have to make sure that you have a word from God. Because if you do, that settles it. I don't care what you look like. You know, when I met Brother Cliff, where he at? I don't know, he's here. I didn't know Brother Cliff. At one point I was going to church, but he wasn't. So I didn't know who Brother Cliff was. So one day, he came back to church, and I wonder, who is that? Oh, that's so-and-so. Oh, okay. So I'm coming again. You know, I park, and I'm going to church to the back, to the fellowship hall, and he's standing there in the middle of the fellowship hall by himself. I don't know what he's wondering about. He's just standing there looking at the wall. So so I walk to him, and I says, Brother Cliff, I want to know you better. Now, did I make those words? Did I thought about it? I don't know. That's what came out of my mind, out of my mouth. That's all it is. So he says, well, what you have in mind? I said, what about if you come to the house and we have some dinner and you meet my family and we let's have a good time. And then we get to know each other. I says, okay. He went. We had a good time. He got together with Brother Kenny. They play. He brought his violin because I told him, no violin, no Cliff. You had to bring your violin. Because I already know he played. So he came. That was his own token to come in. See? So, like my wife said, she don't like to go to places who empty-handed. And they just leave it there. Anyway, so, you know, when she gets invited. Anyway, so, I didn't know. You don't know what God is doing. But if you yield to the Spirit of God and you said what he said, even though you don't understand why you said things, because I am to that level now. I'm not saying that I'm better than you, especially. I am to a level when I don't think anything else. It comes out. And if it's true, it will vindicate himself. God will vindicate his word. So I tell Brother Cliff, you know, he had a good time. And I didn't know anything. His mother talked to my wife later on. He says, you know, I am so glad that Brother Eli invited Brother, you know, my son. I was worried about him. You know, he's been kind of down and, you know, but he just returned back and he's not being completely accepted and whatever things were going in his life. So he was not kind of comfortable. That's why he's standing in the middle of the fellowship or looking at the wall. So, see, I didn't know that. No way in heaven I could know what this is in his heart. I cannot read your mind. But I can do one thing. I can be sensitive to the Holy Ghost and whatever thought he puts in my mind. I don't know why, but it works for me. One time I told you this before, I was in the shop working with my wife and and my sister-in-law walks in, and I said, "Wow, you look really radiant. Are you pregnant?" And my wife looked at me and says, "Stop," because, you know, she's a little heavy, but not that heavy. I mean, she's fine. And she, my wife said, "What is your, shut up." She think I was making fun of her. So she walked in and took her to the back and told her, "I'm pregnant and I'm going to have twins." Did I know that? She had to apologize to me, see? Because sometimes we don't know what is going on. We don't know what is happening. Forget, you go through situations and circumstances and you go to certain tests. God give you tests. God wants to see how much you trust him. Regardless, Job said, even if the earthworm eat my body, I will see him. See? He wants to push you sometime. Because that's what big character. Next time it will be easier and easier. We don't like to see our children sick. You know, I don't like to see my grandchildren sick. But if they don't get sick, you don't build an immune system. So sickness is bad, but it works on good in you. And since God is washing you, that's the way we need to go. That's the natural way. Now, a few years from now, she has a good immune system and she will not get sick that much. And then we ate as much as we want by giving them good food and good nutrition. You know, we do what we can as well. Yeah. But the rest of them is the immune system that has been built. The same thing with God. You come to church because we need to build you up. We need to give you the right nutrients. We have to give you the word of God. So you can grow stronger and stronger. And the more you grow and the more you go through, the more you mature. See? The more you experience God and the more you experience God, the more you continue growing. So next time the sickness come, you know whom you have believed. And he will take care of these things. Wow, I'm so way off everything. That's what I had to do part one, part four, part five, because I never get to him. But Jesus says, it should be done. This is the way it should be done. You are seasoned Christian. You know what you need to do according to his word. You know? In fact, the Bible says, that you need milk and bread. You know, you should be kind of far away, from the milk and the bread. You should be eating what? Meat. You need to get some substance. It's okay. A baby needs milk when he's grown because his system is not developed to digest all these, things that are and break this food down. So we give him milk and we give him bread. But as they grow, and the teeth start coming out, when I came to this message, back then, you had to come with teeth already, brother. You cannot come like a baby. Because this thing was so much that you had to jump into it. It's just jumping. You don't know how to swim, but you jump in the pool and we say you can swim. Either you drown or you swim. The same thing when I came into this message. It was no mentors. We don't believe in all this stuff. So we don't have Sunday school like I had, to learn, to train you in the way. So, man, you have to start chewing. You don't care what it is. There's no mentor. You just start chewing. The word was so rich and so powerful. I didn't have no time can we start a little bit, something lesser than that? No. Just get in there and start, biting your way through. And that's what I've been doing. I didn't have nobody to teach me but the Holy Ghost, see? And it's all right. We all start that way. But once your teeth come out, if you keep drinking milk and bread, you know what happened to your teeth? They fall off. Because they come softer because you are not using. The more you use your muscles, the more what? The stronger they get. If you don't use them, you lose them. So he said, hey, you need to move from that milk and that bread now. But the reason you don't do that is because you are not where you ought to be. See, that's what Paul was telling me. See, you need to be here now eating meat. But you're still with your little wah, 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 and arguing about this and about that, and I am right and you are wrong, and this is what I need, but he thinks I need, complaining and, See, they never grow. That's what babies do. When they're hungry, what do? They scream. And they get upset, when they need to be clean, all that stuff. And we, we don't have no children in this place. At this point, we are getting ready for the coming of the Lord. And if we are ready for the coming of the Lord, where do you think you should be? Act to be right now. Milk and bread is good. I was told not to drink milk with beef. You know, if you're eating a steak, not to drink milk because it gives you a gastronomical jubilee. I don't know. That's what I was told. And anyway, I don't care because I don't like milk. Anyway, I haven't drink milk since I was wean. I'm a lactose. When I was small, you know, I had a problem with milk. So I used to get goat milk. I love goat milk. I don't know if she was brought up with goat milk, but I did. And I love goat milk. But anyway, that's beside the point. So what I'm saying is, you know, we have come to a point that you know what to do. You cannot claim ignorance any longer. Not if you've been under this ministry. You cannot say, well, I didn't know that. Yes, you do. What gets in the way is your thoughts and his thoughts. And one or the other has to go out. See? So, to fulfill righteousness, to carry into full effect every divine instruction. That's what we are here for. I don't care your thoughts or what you think. I don't want to carry that. I don't want you to carry my thoughts and do what I think is right. But we are here so we can carry every divine instruction from God. That's what Jesus did. He said, this is what we need to do. This is what had to be done. And let's do that. Forget how I feel about it. Forget if I agree or disagree. You don't agree or disagree with the word of God. We are in one accord. We already agreeing in that word. If we come together, you know, there's no questioning about agreeing or disagreeing. This is what we are. We are God's righteousness. You see? We are his thoughts. We are the manifestation of his word. And that's all it is. There's no arguing about that. Anything else, I believe, is a detriment. It's in the way sometimes. But he says, fulfill every divine instruction. And that was his first step. He will carry out the will of God, regardless. He told his mother, he told his brother, he told everybody, no, this is what it is. This is the way we should do. Not that way. So we will get together and we have a fossil, we have a disagreement. Why don't we get together and pray? Right. God, this is what I think. This is what you think. God, what do you think? See, what happens is we get our feelings hurt and we get involved emotionally. And now, well, I won't talk to that guy anymore because, he don't agree with you. You know, this is not about right and wrong. This is about the truth. Oh, I know you have your convictions and I know you have your ways and we all are different. But we must agree on one thing. If we are called to be Christian, we are called to be his son, we need to agree on something in his word. So before you do anything, please, this is how important it is. Before you do anything, find out what he wants you to do about anything. Forget about how it's going to be done, where are you going to do it, how much you're going to... Why don't you let him take care of that? You know, that's why we get so stressed out. Because we are trying to figure things out. But if he's going to do it, he's going to do it this way. Really? If you have it figured out, you know one thing, you're wrong. That's what your prophet said. If you think you have it figured out, you what? So stop figuring things out. Sure. Oh yes, Lord, I like to move here, I like to live here, I like to go there. That's fine. Let him figure it out. If that is his will, don't figure it out. Just tell him what is in your heart. That's all. And let him vindicate that or not someone. Maybe he says maybe. Maybe he says not now. Maybe yes. But whatever it is, you are trusting in that he will give you the answer to what you have need. See, I cannot help you. If I could help you this morning, I would do it. But I can't. But he can help you. So if we can come together and agree, then let him bring the word. You have a need. I pray for you. I don't know what you have need. And I don't even know how to help you. In fact, I don't even know what to pray. But if we can come together and agree that we need something, then we can just start and let God take over. So his whole intention was to follow God's will. And that should be all our intention. All our focus should be, Lord, what do you want? And that's what I do. Because that's what we get in trouble. That's what I got in trouble with my parents. They wanted me to do something, but I had another idea. But I got in trouble. You know? I can tell you many things, but I'm not going there because I never finish. I'm not even a couple of, you know, statements here. 2 Peter 1:10. Therefore, rather, brothers, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you don't this thing, you shall never what? I was interested. I never read it to the end. And you shall never what? You shall never what? So if you fall, it's because what? Because you're doubting your calling and you. That's all it is. I mean, that's what he's telling me. Because if you know who you are, what you are, who you are, where you're standing, where you're going, where you came from, then you will not never fall. But there's people that are still doubting that. See, don't you doubt. Because that's what Satan wants you to do. See, brethren, see, for the mercies of God, he says. It says, give diligence. Forget it. In the beginning. That was a joke. Diligence. Giving diligence. Diligence. Okay, to make your calling and election sure. For if you do this thing, you shall never fall. Amen. So, listen, this is not a picnic. You didn't enjoy a picnic. So you have to work hard to prove who you are. You have to work hard, really, see, to prove that you are what you say you are. God knows who you are. But God needs to prove to you. So this is not I come to church and I just relax and I just don't lunch. And when the rapture happened, I believe that he's going to finish the work that he started. There's something you got to do. God is going to prove you every step of the way. He says you got to work hard to prove that you really are among those that God has called and chosen. Make you call it an election? Sure. See? You got to do that. How you do that? You take his word, and if I'm a son of God, it has to happen. God has to vindicate his word. If I'm a son of God, and I say, God, I need healing, I need this, and I need that, then if it happens, that doesn't mean that because it happens, and now we can address that later, because it happened, you are a son of God. Because you are a son of God, things shall follow. Signs, this shall follow you. You will lay hands on the sick, and what? And they shall recover. You will drink any things that is, you know, deadly to you, and you what? And you will recoup. They will not kill you. So that is the sign that will follow those that what? So if you believe, and you are one of his children, then you're going to have to prove that in your life. Listen, you cannot live with my testimony. You have to have your own testimony because you are the one that need to be sure, you know, that you are chosen and you are called and you are elected. Do I have the Holy Ghost tested? Because the first step was being baptized, and then the Holy Ghost came down in a way of a bird, you know, white dove. So that's the first step. If you are being baptized and you have the Holy Ghost, then the test starts. Everything that happened in your life is a test. It's a test to see if you are elected and chosen. It says, you got to work hard at it. So it's not a picnic that we just decided to come in, but it's God, you know, proving to you who you are. Job, you know, he says, well, the only reason that guy served you, and the only reason he come to church, and the only reason he's so rejoicing and so happy, is because you give him everything he wants. But let me touch him. God said, I'm going to prove you. Not him. I'm going to prove you. But in the way, he proved Job too. Because Job had to have trust and confidence that God was doing the right thing. I mean, that's hard. Family, everything. He took property. He took everything. Now, if you had to trust God when you are then, you know, with nothing, like a homeless person, you had just lost everything, your job, your house, your car, your wife. Well, the wife was still there, but the kids, that's worse. I mean, the wife is okay, but losing your kids when they're not supposed to die before, no. No, I'm not. I'm just comparing, you know. I mean, you get old, and we get old, and your wife died, you know, you're supposed to. But a kid that hasn't lived alive, that is harder to lose one. When they're supposed to, you're supposed to die before they do. So Job was, you know, in desperation, you know. He cursed. He didn't curse his day. He cursed the day he was born, but he never cursed God. He said, curse God and die. So you're talking as a foolish woman, you know. So God always prove you, you know. And he let Satan, is a tool of God in his hand to do whatever. He only can do whatever God is tell him to do. See? But it's to test you so you know that you know that you know that he called you and he elected you and you are a son of God before the foundation of the world. A lot of people know about God. People go to church and they know about God. And that's good enough to get what they want, because the Bible says there's two types of water baptism. It says, not that there are two types, there's something understanding. You and I have an understanding that there are not two. But for the world out there, it's two kind of baptism. And the first baptism in Matthew says, you know, and the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and I will be with you. The promise on that one says, I will be with you. Not in you. The other one said, if you get baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you shall receive what? The promise. And the Holy Ghost is God in you. I don't want God with me. I want God in me. See, and you and I had that understanding. There's not two baptism. They think there's two baptism, and they prefer to take the one that Jesus spoke of than Peter. I believe Jesus because it came out of his mouth, but that guy, I don't know. He was a man. Yeah, but he didn't make a mistake. It was the Holy Spirit talking. Anyway, you know that. But what I'm saying is, sometimes, you know, the people are there. They have miracles, and they have supernatural things happening. You know, they got good services. Probably better service than you and I we have. In fact, they have better entertainment than what we have. We don't have any entertainment. Just me. And I'm not so much of an entertainer guy. I should not be seen or heard. That's what I believe of myself. Anyway, so we have that those people are there. At least they know about God, and God is with them as long as they claim the word of God. God that has no respect of people. So if he claimed the same thing somebody claimed, it had to happen the same way. God don't say, "Well, you are an unbeliever. I don't have to hear you." No, God respects his own word. That's all. So as long as they do that. With what they have, with an unction, this is Holy God. God is with them. But he says, I will be with you to where? To the end of this age. What happened after that, Brother Calvo? What are they going to do? Because he said, to the end of this. Now, you and I have the Holy Spirit that he says, everlasting. It will carry us all the way to eternity. But they have a point of what? They're going to stop. It says, until the end of what? Of this age. So what are they going to do after that? Well, they're going to have to be. They're going to have to go through tribulation. They're going to have to really pay. I mean, really. They wouldn't die here for physically. So they're going to have to die physically. They wouldn't die spiritually. So now, after that, they're going to have to face judgment. And some of them will have eternal life. But that's how far being with you will carry you. You know, The 10 virgins, they have the wise one and the foolish one. No, the foolish one, they only had an unction. God was with them, and that's what happened at there. Only with that little bit they have, they can do what they in fact, they do more than you sometimes. I'm so ashamed that they do more than you and I can do. They go to a service, they create an atmosphere. That's the unction. They create an atmosphere that they can actually get what they want. Now, what about you and me? We should be 100 miles away from that because he is in us, you know? We should get just about more than they are getting, brother. But I'm glad they're getting that much because that's all they're going to get. So don't criticize them at least, you know? That's all that God is allowing them to do just because they are with God. So that's what I tell people sometimes. What baptism do you like? Do you like God to be with you, or do you like God to be in you? This one don't carry you all the way to the end. This one carry you all the way to eternity. But we know that you, message believers like that, we know that those two are one. Just the way they look at it. Anyway. So, it is not a picnic, so we really, we need to prove. We walk. This life is a walk. It's a proof. You know, everything that happened to us is to prove that God, it is in us. That God elected us before the foundation of the world. That we are chosen to be His bride. Every step that we take and everything that we face, it is to prove that the word is in you and in me. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, for the mercies of God, that you present your bodies in living sacrifice. I read you this last time. Holy, acceptable unto God. That is what God requires. And before God can accept you or me, He says, you have to be a living, not a dead sacrifice. A living sacrifice. You are born from death to life. See, you are a living sacrifice. The breath of life is in you. All that has breath, worship God. See? And then Paul says, those that are alive, not dead, those that are alive and remain. See? So, we need to be alive sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. We have to come to church, you know? Church is not entertainment to us. Church is, you need to participate. You have to enter in. You have to create an atmosphere. You need to come alive and well to worship God. Now, you might drag yourself to this door dead, but you don't have to stay that way. Let God lift you up, you know? Because we are alive and well in this age. He says, but the mercies of God, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. Now, I like that one too. Your reasonable service this morning is that. To come and present yourself as a living sacrifice. Not a dead one. I don't have to be pumping you and kicking you and pressuring you and make you feel good, bad, evil, or whatever. You should be ready to bring and give God a reasonable service. What do He expect? A living sacrifice. Holy unto God. See, you need to know that that's what God thinks. It's not my thought. It is God's thought. And this morning you want to do what He thinks. And then things will come out just right this morning. When you leave here, you said, wow. Like the two guys that were two disciples in the way to Emmaus. Wow. My heart surely burned this morning when that word was coming forward. It's not the brother. It's when the word was coming forward. So you will never fall away if you realize what you're calling. You know what you're calling. Your reasonable service this morning is to do His will. You know, you're not, like I said, you're very smart. You know what God requires from you this morning. I don't have to tell you. I don't have to pump you about it. I come here and I do my part. But if you come and you do your part, we will be blessed. Because God will make sure that if I do the right thought that is God's word and you receive them, then everything will, if you do. Your part. Listen, you need to pull. I don't need to push you. You need to pull. That's what the Bible says. You have a part. You have a reasonable service to the bride, to the body, and to Him. You have a responsibility. You have a duty to God. You have a duty to yourself. You have a duty to each one in this room. Because if you came and you don't understand that, then your service is not reasonable. So, Romans 6:13. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. See, this is the living sacrifice. This is what God will accept. That we don't yield our members to unrighteousness. Meaning, don't do something that He do not desire. Let's not think about something that He will not desire. Your thought speaking louder this morning than your actions. So He says, don't, because as soon as the thought comes in, you are what you think. That's what the Bible says. So as soon as the thought comes in, then what is the next step? We voice it. And then your body will line up to that what? To that thought. So whatever thought you're thinking this morning, that's how your body's going to line up. Good, bad, indifferent. it is you that need to give a reasonable survey by thinking the right things. When you see your brother, let me get in here anyway. The relationship between you and any brother or sister, it depends on your thought. It doesn't matter what your brother is and what he done. That had nothing to do with it. It's the way you think about him is going to determine your relationship with that brother and that sister. If you see the brother and you say, oh, he comes that a smoocher. Oh, he comes that brother. Oh, man, he don't have nothing good to say. You know what? Fulfill. You will never get too close to the man. It's not because he don't want to. It's because you thinking the wrong thought. But when you come and you think about your brother and your sister the way he thinks, that changed the whole thing. Regardless what they do, we are different. Regardless what they think, I don't like apple pie, I like maybe pineapple or coconut. It doesn't matter. This is not about what you prefer. You know? Oh, yeah, I prefer to have different friends this morning. No. I used to tell people in the army, every time I switch, every 2 years, and every time I go someplace else, I say, well, it is time to dump the old ones and buy some new ones. Because every 3 years I have to go to a different cycle. So I forget about them and then I start with new ones. But that's not the way in the kingdom of God. The way you think about your brother, the way you perceive your brother has to do with your heart. It's not what you're looking at, it's what you perceive. Because the way you are, the way you're wore up, is the way you look at things. You don't look with your eye, you look with your heart. Because the eye is just a window. And that window goes into your heart. And whatever your way you think about things, that's the way you will see things. Actually, you perceive things according to what you think about them. So, anyway, let's leave that in the side. But what I'm saying is, the thought that you have about a brother and sister will determine the degree of your relationship with that brother. We are a body. There's no small one. There's no big ones. There's no short ones. We all in the sight of God, we all the same. So we should treat each other the way you like to be treated. And that's what the Bible said. He said, oh, but I don't have no friends. But why don't you start being friendly? Because that's what the Bible said. Show yourself friendly if you want friends. But if you don't want friends, after church, hit the door and go home and I'm done. Check my duty. But you never have friends. Well, those people never talk to me. It's not that they don't talk to each other. You don't talk to them. But we reflect that to somebody else. The way I feel, I'm going to put it on brother. You know, I'm going to blame him for it. Because that's my thought. But that's not his thought. We are children. You know, my family, my natural family, my brothers and sisters. I didn't have no sister, but I have brothers. We fight, Brother John. We kick. We play hard. We fight hard too. But at the end of the day, we slept together, we ate together, and we loved each other, regardless how many beating I got that day from my, you know, older brother. He used to beat on me. But it doesn't matter. You know, you got a wife, you that are married. You know, things don't go the way you thought it would go. In fact, you didn't even know what a marriage was until you got married. You have a theory. You know, you saw, you read. You was told by mom and dad. And that's all in theory, you know. But when you got married, none of that stuff worked for you. Okay, most of the stuff did not work for you. Some did. You know, that was your sample. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff. But your marriage might go a different direction. Things are not the same. This is not cookie cutter. Well, he's going to look like me. I'm going to talk like, oh, you're not talking like me anyway. I'm glad you're not talking like me. You don't look like me. We are not all the same. So we get married and we start our journey. And then we start to find out the first year is all, you know, oh, you know, heavenly. Once we come down and we really hit the ground, and then we start seeing things that we never saw before we got married. We never had time to even discuss a lot of things. Now they're coming out. But I didn't know she think that way. But I like it this way, but I don't like it that way. Yeah, this morning, my wife, we've been married 40-some years, and my wife made some oatmeal. The way she make the oatmeal, this is something simple. Huh? But sometimes they escalate. And she used water. Then at the end that she makes it, she put the cream. I don't. I mix the cream and the water, and I make it. So this morning I run out of the house. I was a little bit late, and she already made it. So she gave it to me in the car. We kind of eating and running, and she says, and she said, "You want some?" Yeah, and I tasted. I said, "My, this is water stuff. You didn't put anything in this." "Well, I don't. We rush out of the house. I had time to put the milk on it." "Yeah, but I don't want it." Well, I end up eating more than one spoon, but because I needed to put something in my stomach. You never know how you may think until you start the journey. And then the things start happening, and suddenly you expect him or her to do certain things because that's what you think it should be done. And suddenly it's not. You don't leave your wife. Do you leave your wife every time something happens? Why? Because you love your wife. You should have the same love for your brother and sister. They're not going to. Sometimes you will expect them to do something. Because that's what you expect them to do. And then they don't. You don't get mad at them. You should just continue the journey. You don't leave your wife every time things don't go right. I've been married for 40-some years, and I can tell you right now that we don't agree in everything. Yet. So if I cannot agree with her, how can you agree with me that I need, you're not even my wife and you're not even my, nothing, my brother in the flesh? So what I'm saying is, we have many expectations, and that's good to have expectation. But actually, your expectation is based on the way you were raised, the way you were shaped. And sometimes I was shaped different than you. I was born in an island. You didn't. See? So sometimes you try to approach your brother and sister, and you get a different reaction than you thought it should be. If you come to this church with any expectation this morning about what I should do and what it should be done, in fact, some of you came with the expectation that Brother Doug is going to be here. If you did that, you what? You're going to be disappointed. Why? Because that's what you thought. But if you come to the door, you say, "This is what the Holy Ghost have for me this morning." It doesn't matter what the vessels is. I just want to hear from him. I want to hear from the Holy Ghost. So it doesn't matter who it is in the pulpit. Because God can use even a donkey to speak truth. Not that I am a donkey. I am an eagle. But what I'm saying is, what you think, it will take his course. Because whatever you think, your body will line up, and everything will line up to that. Right or wrong, you think it's right. But the other person thinks it's right. So now who is wrong? But I'm right, and you're right. And your wife said, "I'm right." And I said, "No, you're not. I'm right." Where's that going to go? But let's find out what the truth is, anyway. But the truth is that I don't like that oatmeal. And the truth is that that's the way you make it. So, okay, I ate it. Next time, what I have to do, do not rush her out so she can finish my oatmeal the way I want it. That's all. I'm not going to leave it for that. But the brother says, if I go out there in the field and I get, you know, Satan put a, you know, something in the way, it tricked me and with a woman or whatever, and I do something wrong, he says, I know if I come back home and I ask my wife for forgiveness, she will forgive. Of course it's going to hurt her. Of course it's not going to be a nice little moment. But he said, I know she will. Because I didn't do it because I wanted to desire to do it. That wasn't my desire, but I got tricked into it. Like Eve got tricked into it. She was deceived. Brother Brown said, but I will not do that. Because what? Because I love her. See? And if you said that you love God and you don't love your brother, then lying. Why? You should love your brother the way you love God. Huh. Now, go and chew on that one for a little bit. Because the measurement that you think you love God, you will love your brother. And if that's the way you love your brother, I would doubt that that's how you love God more than that. See, your action determines what is in, what you thought is. When Brother Branham used to talk to people and know the secret of the heart, wasn't the secret of the mind. Who you are is not in your mind. The mind is the battleground. And you're going to have two thoughts coming in. Every day you're going to have two. You're going to have to make a choice to serve God or to serve your own thoughts, your own, somebody else's thought, because that's not your thought neither. But this is the battleground. Now, whatever is in your heart, we decide. If you are son and daughter of God and you have been elected, you're going to choose their, his thoughts. But they say you made the wrong choice. It's okay. Repent. Get back in. And get back in fellowship with his thoughts. See? So quickly, let me... It's already 12 o'clock. I'm still in page one. And I got 6 pages. So you know something had to be left out this morning, right? But I hope you come tonight and I give you the rest of the story. Now, Romans 6:13. Never yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness into sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto good. So don't allow the devil to use your body, you know, to do something that is not desirable by God. Don't let the devil use your mouth to speak somebody else something that is not going to be edifying. Don't use your eyes to see something that God would not look at. That's why I said, don't let Satan poke you around so onto the point that give you a thought that you start using your members for what? For unrighteousness. Unrighteousness means you got the wrong thought. Because the wrong guy gave you the wrong thought. And as soon as we entertain that thought, it becomes. So, Paul is saying, do not yield your members. You come to church, do not yield your members, you know, to something that is what you came to do. Because Satan is everywhere. Satan is faithful to church. See? Oh, and the baby cries, and this, and he tried to distract you, you know? So you can do something else with your body, but not being in the presence. I know sometimes we have to deal with those things. So don't let any part of your body become an instrument to Satan. You know, before you talk to a brother and sister about whatever, don't let Satan use you. Because the word that should come out of your mouth is the same kind of a word that you like to have when you are in the same situation. You know? So, instead, yield yourself completely to God. But this is not good. Somebody's trying to make a call. I forgot to turn my phone off. Okay, maybe he can hear the preaching too. Anyway, he said, don't let your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God. When you come to service, man, it's too late to turn it off. Give yourself, yield yourself completely to the presence of God. Because he will give you the right thoughts and the right things that you need to do in this service this morning. He will give you your reasonable service. It comes through him because that is his thought this morning. Brother Branham said if somebody out there is thinking a wrong thought, it will affect about 2 or 3 pews down. Just a wrong thought. But I don't like that preacher. He's taking too long. Well, that's all you need to start. That's not the right thought. Oh, that's it. I cannot stand her. I tried to talk to her this morning and she kind of put her nose up and left. You don't know what was happening in that, at that. You know, I tell people, you know, if that's true, what did you ask her? No, but what don't you go and ask? Then we know. You know, and we don't have to be guessing. A lot of the stuff is guessing work. Why? Because we see things and we like to, oh, like a movie, we like to strime things into it. You know? It says, you're so complete to God. For you were dead, but now you are alive. So use your whole body as an instrument to please what? God, to do the right things. Every time you do the right things, based on the right thought, based on his word, then you bring glory to God. If not, somebody else is going to get the glory. And I don't think it would be God. But as long as you walk and you talk and you are the way you act to be, and the way you act to be is to think, and to do the things that he wants you to do, you are perfectly completed. At least in that moment. So, testimony. Brother Branham says, raising the dead boy, he says, here, I have a slogan. I like slogans anyway. I want to remember it. I want you to remember it. Do right, that's your duty to God. Think right, that's your duty to yourself. So, if you think right, you will do right. And if you think the right things, then you will come out the right way. So Brother Brown says, it is your duty to God to think right. then your body, your duty to yourself, and you are bound to be what? Right. That's right. See, you will come out right if you do what? If you had the right thought about me, it will come out right. That's your duty to God. Think right. That's your duty to yourself. So you think right this morning, I'm going to church. That is the right thought. That is your duty to yourself, to do His will. But your obligation to God is to be here. So, but you cannot be here if your thought is not right. The thought has to be right first. Then your body will follow through. So, it says, the door inside the door. So, I have always had a little slogan that I always give to people. Do three things in life. Simple, right? This is not complicated. Do three things in life. If you do this thing, you will come out right. Do you need something more complicated than this? It's very simple. So think about these three lights, you know. When the lights line up, the boat knows exactly the destination. You know, when the lights line up. So, he said, do three things in life. Not just only one day. Make it a way of what? Of living. He said, first thing is to do right. That's your duty to God. You need to think right, to do right. See? Thinking right, that's your duty to yourself. See, it's kind of backwards because first I think, then I do. But anyway, because think is your duty to yourself. Your duty to yourself, your obligation this morning is to think His thoughts. To think the right thoughts and never think bad about anything or anybody. That's not going to get you anywhere. It's not going to end right. When a wife starts thinking that her husband is unfaithful, it's not going to end right. Why don't think about, you know, like Brother Brown says, if I do something, I know I will ask, she will forgive me, but I will not do that. Because that's not his thought, see? That is what the whole thing about it. He never think that he will do that because she loved her that much. So that thought will control him because that's come from God. So he said, think right that you duty yourself and you are bound to come out right. That's exactly right. You do right and then think right. Well, it's kind of. And as long as you are going right, you cannot be going wrong. But your thought was this morning when you came to this church, this is going to be my church. Good thought. Second, you're going to be my pastor. Good thought. Third, you know, I'm going to put my shoulders with the people and we're going to work this thing until He comes. Good. So what happened in between? Did you entertain another thought? First you said that God sent you. Good thought. Now it's not. See, that should never be a thought that should have came into. You should have held on to your first thought because that was the right thought. You are this morning in the right place. With your right pastor, with the right ministry, with the right everything this morning that God puts you in order for you to grow. Oh, but I don't know. I think my family be better off someplace else. Okay. So where do you think that thought is going to take you? Okay. I heard this a while back. If in Tucson was another ministry like Brother Doug or better, I will go there. That's a nice thought. That tells me how much confidence you had in your first thought. If your first thought was right, how can now, if I can find something better, I will go there. What happened? There's nothing better in Tucson. So I just stick it up here. Wow, the thought. No wonder you're miserable. No wonder you're not happy. No wonder you are bored. No wonder things are not working for you. It's not me. It's not love divine. It's your thought. Yeah, I heard that. And I spoke to people and I said, well, I can agree with you, but this is what God put me in. This is what I'm going to labor. This is what I'm going to do my best. And I told Brother Doug many times, Brother Doug, if the Lord tells you, you're going to bury me. Then the other day I thought it was the other way around. But anyway. Andy straightened me out. You know, why will you marry a wife thinking that something is going to change? When you marry your wife, you decided until what? Until death do us apart. And it doesn't matter what happened in here. I love her until death. Now we come to church, the bride. And Brother Brown says, you look at a church as you look at a wife, right? So you come to a church, you say, Brother Doug, I'm going to be here until death do me apart. Because that's what you... And then suddenly, what happened in between? You know what that is? I hate to go here, but it's what it is. That's adultery. That's fornication. Because you claim here that this is your pastor. Okay? Then you go and listen to another man. If this is what you chose, and this is your local assembly, and this is what you said, I will stay here. God sent me here until God do me a part. Doesn't matter what it comes. Sometimes it's not going to be easy. Sometimes it's not, we're not going to agree, but that doesn't matter. I don't leave my wife just for that. So what happened? Brother Doug don't come. And then he announced it. Well, can you imagine? I'm not going to get in trouble. Can you imagine that you go home to work and your wife goes and talk to another guy? Just to talk, nothing wrong. But she wants some other thoughts besides your thoughts. Can you imagine that? Well, I need to see what he thinks about it. When you come home, what do you think is going to happen? But that's not going to turn out too good. Because you're under authority. You know, what do the wife need to go and check with somebody else to see if you're right or wrong? Or to see if at least we, you know, let's see that pastor and this. This is what I don't understand. There are some people that believe that they have just pastor's eyes. That's all. And I don't blame them. I'm with you on that one. You know, I like to have the pastor here than me. I agree with you. But I don't make a doctrine out of that. So some people, they say, well, if the pastor, I completely, solely, you know, hear my pastor and that's it, nobody else. But what then do you go to another place when the pastor is not here to hear somebody else? That don't make any sense to me, right? I mean, you're dying, you know, like a fish. You die by the mouth, you know. You take the hook. You put the hook in your mouth. Because if that's right the way you believe, then why do you go and listen to another man? When you said this is it, I only listen to him, and that's good. I'm glad that you think that way. So all I'm saying is, I compare, and that's me, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm comparing this as a spouse, you know, and I'm saying the pastor is the husband, but like it, you know, like me and my wife. And if my wife decides, well, my husband is going to go away to Mexico, I'm going to go to another church to hear somebody else, then what that tells me? I know that don't happen, right? But that's how I compare things. That's how Eli think that I am faithful here. God put me here. I'm faithful to this man. I am faithful to this ministry. I am faithful to this church. Whatever comes, you know, this is my place. This is my position. And I want to be faithful doing that God called me to do. I don't want to be running around. That's a second thought. And you know what the Bible said? A man that entertains two thoughts is not stable. It's unstable. So no wonder sometimes we can have confidence. You know, it's hard for us to find deacons. It's hard for us to find people, trustees, because they have to meet certain, you know, requirements from the Bible. And there's a lot of people that are able to do this, but they're not willing to do it because they're not stable. You cannot count on them. You don't even know if they're going to be here one day, and you don't know if they're going to be here. I'm not talking about going on vacation. I'm not talking about being sick. You know what I'm talking about. If you are able and you're willing, this is your place. This is your pastor. It came out of your mouth when you started here. This is your church. You said it was your church. And now you're going to commit fornication. That's how I feel about it. So forgive me if you don't agree with my thoughts. He said, I have always a little slogan, do right. Think right, and things will come out right. Why do you think we have so much trouble with church and with people? Don't blame them. It's your thoughts. The way you think about it. Philippians 1:11. Oh, my time is just moving. Be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Oh, the righteousness has fruits? Yeah. It says, in your life, it says, being filled with the fruit of righteousness in your life by Jesus Christ, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of the Lord. So what is the fruit of righteousness? What is the fruit of entertaining the right thought? What is the fruit to do right and think right and walk right? What is the fruit? Well, the righteous will produce the character of who? Of that thought, of that word that comes from heaven. The fruit of doing right and thinking right is your character. You meet some people, you say, wow. I like that guy. I like his personality. I like his demeanor. I like his way. He is very honest, and I'm looking for a word that starts with an I. He's very, I can't forget the word, but, you know, his life, you know. And sometimes, and I hope it don't happen here, sometimes we like to be around those people. You know, that we agree that, okay, I like you. But then there's some people that are not that way that you like to stay away from it. You know what? The Bible says we need to love one another the same way. Because God had no respect of people. Sure. Now we have a lot of ideas, but I like Kenny because Kenny, you know, I like his way. And, you know, I use Kenny because he's my son-in-law. I cannot talk about nobody else because I get in trouble, but I know I'm not going to talk with Kenny because I'm not meaning anything. I love Kenny. I love Stephen, so I can talk about him because I love them. And they know I'm sincere. So I don't have no preference between Stephen and Kenny. It would be bad. That's why we create problems in families when we start choosing. That's why you create problems in church when you start choosing. You start choosing to talk to some and to greet some and not the others. You should not be doing that. That is the way you think. See? My thought will control my actions. That's what righteousness will do. I want him to be in control. And you try to, it says, the righteous character is produced in your life by Jesus Christ. See, when you do right, every time you do right, every time you think right, every time you think what he thinks, and every time that comes to pass, you create character. God creates characters in you. See, that's why people will like you, but I like him because, you know, he's a man of his word. Of course. We don't like somebody that tells us something in our face and then turn around and tell me something else. Or tell me, yeah, I'm going to do this, and then he's not there. Or, you know, this is your church, and today you're here, and you say, yeah, no, but I love my church, and tomorrow you're not. You know, what is that about? That's all right. I can get in trouble. Listen, my friend, I'm not saying that coming to church is going to save you. That coming to church is going to make me special, better than you. That's not what I'm talking about. Stop thinking. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that you decided that this was your church, that this was your home church, and this will be your pastor. So then, you know, just put everything into it. You know, when we had the problem with the church and it was burned a year ago, a year and a half ago, the first thing I wrote in Facebook, and I don't write much things. I don't agree with preaching in Facebook. Anyway, that's me. That's my thought. So, but I don't let that thought, you know, control me. If you want to write things, I read them. And I put there about, you know, this is not the time to wrong. This is the time to stick together and come together and help each other. It's not time to go someplace else and, no, so it's the time to unite, you know. That's the only time, and it's sad. That's the only time that the army, or the United States Army, you got men from different walks of life and different places, you know, black and white and yellow and brown and blue. Well, I don't think they're blue people, but anyway, blue, you know. And they can never get together, you know, in a normal situation because everybody has a different thought, see, because they are different. But let it be a war. Right. I went to war. Let it be a war. There's no black and there's no white. There's no prejudice, Brother Blunky, and there is no discrimination, because you know what? I'm depending on this guy to get my back. So I don't care what I think about him. I need to trust him. And he needs to trust me. So everything goes out of the door until we get back to the civilization. He continues being whatever he's going to be, and I continue being what I mean. But like I said, in church, this is not the time to be running around. This is the time to come together and help each other by doing a reasonable service. That is being in place and in position and doing the things that God has called us to do. I'm almost trying to see where I'm going to stop. So righteousness is the character of God. So Brother Brown says from that time, I got a slogan, do right and it's your duty to God. Think right, that is your duty to yourself. And you got to come out right. And if you will try to practice that right thing, see, it is something you have to do. And sometimes it's hard, but you need to practice. It is not God forcing you. It is not me forcing you. You got to put it into practice. If you practice the right thing, see, it will grow around you like a vine. And it will hug you into it. See? Once you take the right thought, once you practice the right thought, God will take you and he will, you know, wrap you around that, because that is the right thing to do. So he will protect you, he will wrap you, and you start growing like a vine. You know, vines are things that you, one day they are here, and the other day they took over the whole wall. When you start acting that way, take over the whole life and everybody around too. And then you feel, what's wrong with that guy? I don't know, but I mean, he hugs everybody. I don't know, he loves everybody. I'm going to get to that right now. He says, and he grows around just like a vine. See, in the character of God, you know, you start maturing, you start growing. Not everybody looks the same to you. You know, you pray it up and nobody's no different than anybody. I love everybody. He says, it will hug you into it. See, it is not you trying to be. Entertain the right thought, you do the right thing, and God will make sure, you know, that he'll wrap you around and keep you and protect you. And if you think that way, and I think that way, what do you think? Well, we're going to be wrapped around in his one, in his love, and we're going to grow. We're not going to be independent from one another. And if you cannot love your enemy just as much as you love those who love you, something is wrong somewhere. That's the wrong thought. Because the Bible says that's the right thought. The Bible says love your enemy. Right? I don't care what you say, Brother Carvo. Well, I like this one. I don't like. That's not. The Bible says love even you want your enemy. That is the right thought. And Brother Branham says, as long as you love those that love you, there's something wrong if you cannot do that. See? Now, just think. It's my duty to love my enemy. Now, what Brother Ryan is saying, he said, you have got to really love him. If you think this is an obligation, you come into church because it's a duty, it's an obligation. Well, I came to church. It's a duty because they forced me to go. It's a duty. I got to go to church. Oh, my God. I better don't lie. I'm a Christian. That's a duty. See? You know, oh, I'm obligated to treat my brother right because I'm a Christian. Check. Brother says, no, if the love is not there, it's not going to work. It will be just a manufacturing thing. You're living an ethic, you know, right and wrongs. Oh, well, I better take that $5 back that they gave me in the store extra because I'm supposed to be honest. No, you are a Christian, you are honest. See, Brother Brown says, if you're doing it by duty, see, if you love your enemy because it's something in the back of the mind told you, you know, hey, I am a Christian, so I should, yeah, I better give him $5 because poor, you know. Well, I don't like the way he treat me. I don't like the way he talk to me. And you go to work and they treat you like trash, but you said, wait a minute, God said to honor him, so I need to love that person. That's duty. That's duty. I'm going to church because, well, I'm a Christian. I better go to church. That's duty. You know why you come to church? You know why I come to church? Because I love him. And when I love him, I want to be with him. When I love him, I want to be with those that love God. I want to be where he's at. He's everywhere, but he's here too. You know? I'm not with my wife because of duty, because I promised her. Now I got to, you know, come with the goods. And okay. It's not a duty. It's not an obligation that I got to live with my wife 40, 50 years now because I already committed. And I better do it right so because I will ruin my reputation because I don't know what people are going to say if I don't go to church. Duty, obligations. No wonder we are bored. Oh, it's too long because it's an obligation. You see it as a duty. And that's what he's saying. Don't make, if you love God and you love his word, then you will come out right. See, it's a duty to love my enemy. Then he says, that will not work. You have got to really, 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 and your action will show how much you love him. Second, I'm going to find a place to stop. So then, brother, 2 Thessalonians 2:15. So then, brother and sister, stand firm and hold fast to the teaching we pass on to you. That's why we are here. We are passing teachings to you. That is his word. You know what I'm going with this now. Whatever by word of mouth or by letter. Now, this is what Brother Brown says. 62:13. Our teaching is right. Let me stop right here. How many come to this church because the teachings and the preachings is right? Don't I don't want to see hand. But if you don't come for that, there's something wrong. But you come to this church and you're not going to another church, better or worse, because you believe. You believe that God brought you here because the teaching. Hey, I don't know if you don't like me. That's a different story. I'm not talking about liking and preference. I'm talking about the teachings. You think this is a place that will fit you by the word of God. Say the right things. See, making you, helping you, aiding you to say the right things. We're giving you the word of God so you can live by the right things. If this is the place you came, you like the ministry, you like the church, you like the people, because we got the right teaching and the right word. Now, I'm going to. And the right thing, then it makes you do the right thing. See, if this pulpit do not produce the word of God, we are not doing the right thing. But I do believe we are doing the right thing. So if they're doing the right thing, what do I need to listen on anybody else? I mean, besides, you need to listen to your tapes and read your Bible. But I'm not talking about that. You came over here because you believe this is the right teaching. Now, see, is the right thing, do right thing, think the right thing. See, this ministry should make you want to think the right things and do the right things. And if we are doing that, and you agree that we are doing that, always be thinking right. I have a little slogan. Do right that you are duty to God. Think right that you're duty to yourself. And you'll be bound to come out right. Now, here we go. I think I had it. Okay, why don't we jump to 52:7-18 quote. For him will I accept. This is what I wanted to. I'm going to skip a couple of things here. Now, if you notice, dear Christian friend, surely that this is much better way. What is the much better way? If you come to church, now that's what I said, but if you just believe me with all your heart, first of all, you know we have the right teaching. We had the right preaching. We had the right word. So it behooves us, he says, this is the better way. Now I'm giving you a better way. It is to believe the pulpit, whoever it is, with all your what? Not halfway. Maybe I do it. I don't know about that guy. I prefer this guy. No. If you put all your heart into what? Into it. That, Brother Branham said, that is the better way. So you got a thing to do this morning. Either you believe it 100%. You believe it's the right teaching, it's the right word, it's the right pastor leading by the Holy Ghost, it's the right ministry, the right trustee, the right deacon, it's the right church. Now you put all your heart into it. As long as your heart goes someplace else to entertain something else, your heart is not 100% here. I'm not saying that you cannot go that way. Maybe when you move that way and you'll be in someplace else. But in the meantime, this is where your heart belongs. What happened? Our heart is split by things. But I think I'd be better off over there. I think my family would be better. Oh, man, you're not stable. You come to church and you are stressed out because you're entertaining two thoughts. Why don't you just forget about that and let God take care of that and come in and put all your heart into the service? He says, it can only one help you. It can only one help you. It can only help you if you put your heart into it. Don't blame the pastor. Don't blame me. If you put your heart into it, it will help you because now you can believe that this is the right teaching. This is the right place. This is the right ministry. And I put my heart in it and it will work for you. That's the part you need to play. Now, as you believe that is, and then I can only help you as you believe what I. So here I am. The ministry is here. And you said, this is the right ministry. This is the right word. So why don't you do what the minister tell you to do? As long, Brother Salinas, that is the word. See? I don't care about his preferences and his opinion. As long as it's the word, why don't you follow it? Amen. That means if you don't, your heart is not into. And that is kind of hard because if your heart isn't into it, we affect everything. You affect everything. The service is affected because your mind is not into it. He says, if you believe what I said, and I get off the Bible. Now, if he gets off the Bible, then you got the right to disbelieve. How many, don't raise your hand, think that we are off the Bible, off the message? Then why don't you believe? That's how simple it is. Why don't you give me your heart completely, not to me, to the word, and to this church, and to this ministry? And if we are not preaching the word, you have the responsibility and the duty to come and let me know before you make your mind. And don't run around creating, you know, messes. He says, then you got a right to disbelieve. But as long as I am preaching or teaching to you God's word, then you should believe it. And that's right. He said, and that is right. That is the right thought. Amen. But a thought as your mind is someplace else when I'm preaching or whoever is preaching, that is not the right thought. It's not going to turn out right. You are not going to turn out right because your heart is not complete. Listen, I understand. I got many thoughts that I like to do. I like to buy one of those big Winnebagos, whatever you call those, you know, sell my house and go traveling. But which church I want to go? I love you guys so much. If I leave here to Puerto Rico, I told you I was going to go in December, a whole month, I miss you guys. Why? Because my heart is here. I go to another church because I'm in Puerto Rico, but my heart is here. This is where God called me to be. And my heart is here. See, when you, he said, that is right. James, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher. It must already be said in your mind that we are a ministry. Yes? If not, then you're sitting in the wrong place. Brother Doug said it, and I must say too. If you don't think this is the right teacher and the right preaching and the right word, then you need to find a place that you will have confidence so you can grow. Because you are under the wrong ministry if your heart is not into it. If this is a problem, then come and confront it. Let people know. Let your pastor know. He says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher. So the gift in this church has already been validated, confirmed. This is what it is. You're happy with him, and you settle that this is what it is. Brother Doug is your pastor, and he will bring the word, and that's settled. He says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher, come from God. Of course, the word that in this pulpit don't come from my mind, don't come from my thought, it has to come from God. And if it not come from God, you would not be here sitting this morning. You would be probably, you have an excuse not to come to church. But it's not so. It's not so. Andy, the ministry of this church, he says, for no man can do this miracle that you do except God is. The things that happen in this church, when your pastor prays for you, the things that happen to your life, the miracles, all that, that is a testimony, that is a verification that the pulpit is correct. Because if it was my word, it will fail. But it's not my words. So if it's not my words, somebody has to vindicate. He needs to vindicate his own word. So if I speak his thoughts and not my thought, he will vindicate it by bringing it to what? To pass. But I know you're happy with that. You had to be because you're sitting here. Because if you wasn't happy, you would be someplace else. Believe thou this? Last night when I was reading the text of St. Luke, five chapter, how that they come to hear his word and then press upon him to hear the word of God. How glorious. The church today ought to be pressing everywhere to hear the word of God and stay with the word of God. So listen, brother, I said, why don't they stay those doors? People will be making lines, you know. Are you pressing? You know? Now, this church opened 3 times a week, Wednesday and 2 times today. Are you pressing? If that is your heart, are you pressing? Because Brother Brown said, this is the time that we should be pressing, not relaxing. This is the time that you need to put your whole heart into it. This is not the time to relax. This is not the time to run around. This is the time to be pressing. One of these days, things are going bad, and I don't have to go through it. But things are going so bad that one of these days, those people that are not pressing, they're going to be surprised. Then the churches are going to be full because people are going to start pressing when the things start coming. But it will be too late to be pressing. Now is the time to press. Now is the time to build ourselves. Now is the time to be mature, learning, and do the right things. When the things happen, the man says, take care of the little things. One thing you need to take care of, you need to press. It is not the time to relax. It is not the time to run around. It is not the time to do nothing but pressing to hear the word of God. Amen. And if the word of God is not teach here and preach here, it's your duty and your responsibility to come and let us know. John, I will pull in a minute. John, another 15 minutes. John 8:49. Jesus answered, I have not the devil. What? Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. And he says, because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me not. You know? And if you don't believe me, why don't you believe my work? And you don't believe that neither. So why are you coming to church? Jesus said, what are you asking now? You said that I have a devil because you're making excuses. Sole excuses why you don't want to believe me. Right. That I come from God. That I'm a teacher from God. So he says over here then, Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. You know what that means? You are very, very respectful. Because I'm a preacher, and I'm teaching, and you know I'm right, and you don't want to do it. That is very disrespectful to a preacher. That you come and you say, I believe you, and then you do something else. Okay, take it with a grain of salt. I'm not scolding you. I'm just telling you what the word is saying. So, it is very disrespectful when that happens. Because if you're not here, then you're saying, well, you're not that important. Okay, that's what it's mean to me. The word that you bring is not that important. You're not a teacher, or I don't care what you have to say. When brother gets here, I care what he has to say. But you, it's very disrespectful. Because I gave my life to the whole thing. Jesus said, honor my Father. See, I honor my Father. I do what he asked me to do. That's what I'm here this morning. And you what? You dishonor me. Every time that you don't do what you're supposed to do, you disrespect the ministry. Listen, you need to understand the seriousness of where we are today. This is all I'm asked to tell you. The seriousness of the way we're thinking about things. Brother Branham says in Hebrews chapter 2, now you said, well, Brother Branham, then if I become a Christian, I can just do anything I want to. Sure, Brother Van says, sure, absolutely. If you are a Christian, you should do whatever you want. Hold it. And I will guarantee you, you won't have no desire or any desire to do wrong. Right. Oh, yeah. So if you are a Christian and church is on, you're there. Why? Because that's the right thing to do. And if you are a Christian filled with the Holy Ghost, you will not do anything that is against the word of God. Yeah. Do not forsake your assembly. Here we go. Love your enemy. Here we go. If not, then your heart is not into them. See? And I will guarantee you that you won't have any desire to do wrong. See, that is what God is in my life. It's not because I'm special. I just don't want to do nothing against His word, against Him. It says, and I serve the Lord because I am afraid. If you say because you're afraid of going to hell, you're not serving Him right. If you lead through to my wife because I am afraid that she will divorce me, I'm not a very good husband. If you come to church, like a church, it's a he, you know. And we do it because we're afraid that somebody's going to say something or do something. Then you are not really got the idea. You're not a very good Christian. That's what he's saying. I'm not saying, he says, you're not a very good Christian. I live true to my wife because I am afraid what people will say, or she will divorce me, or the church will throw me out, or if I don't at least show, you know, some interest, you know, I might get in trouble. They might talk about me over the pulpit. I better go because I don't want to read my whatever. I don't know. I'm making these things up as I go. Say, you're not a very good Christian. But I wouldn't hurt her for nothing. See, he says, for I love her. If you love the church and you love God, you love the church and you love the people, you will not do nothing to hurt the church. And I already told you, sometimes we are very disrespectful when we do not show when we're supposed to show. And we don't even call and let nobody know. That's me. Put it on me. Don't put it in the rest of the ministry. Romans 12:2. I think I'm going to stop right here. But before that, I want to say, and I hate to stop in this kind of a downfall, but I think it will get better if you stand a little longer, but I'm not going to continue. I want to make mention of something, and I'm going to finish. We know in this town and other places, and people have these experiences in other places, not only here in Tucson, that they got preachers that are very controlling. That happens everywhere. That happened to Kenny family. That happens to just about everybody. Not me yet, but, well, yes, in a way, you know. In a way, not such of a great, you know, measurement, but it happens to me a couple of times. But anyway. What I don't understand is this, and you help me understand. You can be under a very controlling ministry, and they tell you what to do, who to marry, where to go, who to talk to, and if that door you don't come in at a certain time when the service, whatever time they decide you're supposed to come in, they close your doors, and then you better be in time because we're going to talk to you over the pulpit. I got a spice that I'm going to send and find out why you didn't come to church. I mean, this is very controlling ministries. However, this is my key part. However, on the dust controlling ministry, people do better. They don't miss church. They're there on time. They marry the person they said they marry. They do the right things because they're under what? Under obligation. See, there's so much pressure. And they are afraid not to. And they are under bondage because they are afraid that they're going to tell their family. That happens. They split their family. They throw you out. With them. I mean, you are under bondage because by force. They force you. And then they make you afraid. If you don't do this, you are a child twice of hell, whatever. This is the right ministry. This is the right way. And you get so scared that you don't want to be wrong, that you comply with the rules. Here's my part. So now God saved you from the ministry. You are free. Now Brother Brown says, you I am free and I can do anything I want to. Sure. Now you're free of this ministry. Now you feel free. You're not in the bondage any longer. You are free. But you're not free to do whatever you want. So what happened? We come in another place where it's a Holy Ghost controlled church. Not man, Holy Ghost. And our performance, I hate this man, you're going to kill me. Our performance is less than when you was in bondage with a man. So who has more power? What you telling me, this man had more power to make you do what you're supposed to do and not the Holy Ghost? Listen, if this in this case you were persistent, you know, you really gave all to that system, whatever the reason was. And now we under the right system, under the Holy Ghost. I expect that you will do better. Right, Brother Carbo? Better. So help me understand, why not? You go home and you just hold that up. Because that is what I am. I was just thinking, Brother Brown says you can do anything you want to, but if you used to be a prisoner of the world, now you're a prisoner of who? So you should do at least the same thing that you were forced to do, that it was right. But it was forced. Now you have a choice to do it yourself. And now it becomes lesser. There's something wrong here. Not with you. It's just something wrong with the whole idea. So, I'm not a very good husband, but I will not hurt for her for nothing. See, love is what drives everything. In this system, you might was not in love with the system, but you comply with the system to do the right things. Now it's love. I think love is stronger than anything there is. The pastor didn't love you here, but you did. The pastor don't want the best for you. He wanted what he wanted, but you did. Now it's all love. And the Father loves you. And he wants the best for you. And suddenly, our performance went down. Why? Because God will love you even if you don't do the right things. This man will not love you. If you do the wrong thing, he will kick you out. He will do something. Take your family. God, even though we do the wrong things and we get away, we think we get away with the wrong thing, God still loves you. That's the difference. I don't want to take advantage of God's love. Because that's what happened. You know, I don't want to take advantage of grace and make it a disgrace. I want to make sure that I love you, I love God, I love you, and I put all my heart into this thing. Amen? Stand up. Sorry, I didn't want to finish in this down note, but it gets better from here on. But if I don't show you the negative side, I cannot help you with the positive side. But I want you to know that I'm not being mean to anybody, and I don't trying to put anybody down. I'm just trying to show you what the facts are. Amen. And this is a fight. Listen, my friend, we are at the end. And the devil is going to fight us. He's going to throw the kitchen, everything that is possible to distract you, to, you know, make you take the wrong. The fight is on. This is it. This is it. And you need me, and I need you. And you need me, because we're going to help each other to get through this. You cannot do it by yourself, by your own thoughts, by your own ways. It's just only one way. This is God's program. This is the way it's going to have to be done. And I love his program. I don't want to question his program. I want to trust him. I cannot trust myself, but I will trust him. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity that we have, Father, to come and express our love to you and express our love to each other and express, Father, our hearts by saying, God, I am here because I want to do everything that is in my power to do that is right. And I know with your help, I will do those things, Father. Father, I believe that I've been called and I've been chosen to before the foundation of the world. And I know I can do everything. Paul says, everything, I can do everything, but not everything is good for me. It's licit for me. But we can do. We are not under bondage any longer. We are free. But we are free to choose your idea. We are free to choose your word. We are free to choose what you want us to do. Father, so we were prisoners of the world. Now we are prisoners of you, Paul says. And that's the way we need to look at things. God has the best interest in our lives, in our families, in everything that we do. God loves us that much. And God wants us to do the right things. And if we don't, and we make a mistake, we just ask the Father to forgive us. We don't run away. We run to Him and say, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Father. I didn't mean to do it. My desire is not to do that. I love you. My desire is to love you and do what you bid me to do. Father, forgive us. And we move on. We move on and we forget about it. Because God will have the power to make us forget those things. And not dwell on those things, because that's what the devil wants. Yeah, but you did it yesterday and you did it today. Yeah, but there's a miracle that happens every time that God forgives us. I know that I don't remember them. And when Satan comes to accuse, I don't remember that. God don't remember it. What should I? What I have to do is just make sure I don't do it again. And if I happen to do it, it's still mercy, it's still grace. That blood will cover what I did yesterday, today, and what I'm going to do tomorrow. But I don't want to be a disgrace. I don't want to take advantage of that. Not knowingly. I mean, I might make a mistake, but it wasn't intentionally. I would never do that. I love my wife. Intentionally, I would never hurt my wife. Because I love her. And I will never do something that is against you, God, intentionally. Yes, we fall. Yes, we have different sometimes shortcomings. But God, I love you. We love you. And we want to do exactly everything that you bid us to do. So help us, God. Now be with this little group now. Be with our brothers. Be with us as we go out to eat, Father. Bless the meals. Take us and bring us safe again. And Father, we will be sure to give you the glory and the honor, Father. We want to meet with you again. Father, any opportunity that I have, I want to meet with you. We love you and we ask you all these things in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Again, show me the way. You want God to show you the way this morning? But if He shows you the way, will you walk in the way? And if you do, you know what? Things will come out right. Let's sing that song, Show Me the Way. I don't know how it started, but show me. And maybe you can put it in the screen. And you can start if you don't. Way. How many want His way? Not my way. We want to walk. Show the way. I put my trust in the cry of my heart. Right up, my heart is to love you, Lord, with all my heart. Stronger is there. Yes, show me the way again. Oh, I know my heart is to love you, Lord. Love you. Stronger is there. Sorry, guys. Show me the way. Now we can go up.